T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tiki on this crazy freaking Tuesday, in which everybody was dragging their tuchuses to work today, if you did work today, because everybody was up late. They watched a crazy Knicks game, a depressing Islander game. And after games like last night, whether it's the Islander loss blowing a 3-goal lead, whether it's the Knicks win, good and bad, you ain't sleeping. That's the one thing I've learned. You are not sleeping for a long, long time. Now, we'll get to Joel Embiid, who actually showed some guts after the game. And I'll explain why. But tomorrow, right here on this program, at this very time, we have reached the conclusion of the Evan and Tiki Top 20, brought to you by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. And that is the New York Top 20 draft picks over the last 50 years. And it's been a fun time narrowing it down and hearing the list of names every single day. We are down to our final four, and tomorrow we will hear the top four. Quick reminder on who fit the spots 20 through 5. Phil Simms, Don Mattingly, Tiki Barber, that's you, David Wright, Brian Leach, Clark Gillies, Daryl Strawberry, Doc Gooden, Mike Bossy, Brian Trottier, Henrik Lundqvist, Marty Brodeur, Roger Clemens, because he was drafted by the Mets, Michael Strahan, Joe Klecko, and Darrell Revis. We are down to our final four, and tomorrow at 4 o'clock you will hear it. Today, I have been sent, I have it in front of me, according to the committee, who I still don't know who's on the committee. There has been open speculation from some that it may feature my old radio partner, Joe Beningo, but I cannot confirm that.
Terry email you today?
Terry did not email me. There have been rumors Rich Ackerman, who is back there right now, is in this committee. I have not heard if that's true or not, but that's been some of the rumors, okay? I have just been given the list of, quote, near misses. The guys that did not make the top 20, but got very careful consideration. Are you ready?
Yes, let's hear these.
From the 22nd round in 1990, Andy Pettit.
Ooh.
Andy Pettit was a near miss.
It's a solid one.
From the 9th round in 2010, Jacob DeGrom. Now, there are no modern players, or at least active players. My guess for DeGrom being close is that he's not a Met anymore. That they kind of view his tenure as done.
As incomplete, like he didn't finish it?
Well,
like
no, that it's over. He's not a Met anymore. His Met tenure is over.
Yeah, but he was still great when he was a Met.
No, I know that. I'm not arguing. I'm saying the reason he's there and guys like Aaron Judge and Pete Alonso aren't is that their tenures are still being written.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm saying.
He could still retire a Met. You never know.
You never know. Yeah. I doubt it, though.
Matt Ryan retired a Falcon.
Yeah, that was lame, by the way, yesterday. You see how cheesy that was? Tell Matt Ryan. A lot of people thought that was cheesy.
That sounds like a no comment from Tiki.
I love my radio, my TV partner.
You know what that means? Tiki agrees with me.
I love my radio partner, too.
Oh, thank you.
I love my TV partner.
That means Tiki agrees, but he doesn't want to say anything.
Definitely.
And I respect that. That's fine.
Tracy was like, why is he retiring? Didn't he retire a year ago?
That's what we all thought.
And I'm like, no, he was still playing because the Colts owed him a lot of money.
Oh, that's
to
true.
To not retire.
That's true.
There was a reason that Matt Ryan was listed as probable to whatever team needed a quarterback last
year. That's right, because he was officially active.
Exactly.
I hear some of the other near misses. From the 3rd round in 2005, Justin Tuck. Justin Tuck would have been a very solid addition. Mike Richter. Mike Richter was a near miss. Carl Banks, 3rd pick overall in 1984, near miss. How about this one? This is intriguing. Jorge Posada twice. Jorge Posada was drafted in the 43rd round in 1989 and did not sign.
That's out of high school.
The following year, he was drafted in the 24th round in 1990 and did sign. both by the New York Yankees.
They really wanted Georgie.
So wow. Posada drafted twice by the Yankees. That's a double bang.
Bang!
Mark Jackson, 18th overall pick in 1987 by the New York Knicks. He was a near miss. Ken Danico, 18th overall pick in 1982, won three cups with the Devils.
Yeah, Devils
that's
don't
a
count.
Near miss.
The Devils don't count. What are you
they
talking
They do count.
About?
Marty Brodeur is on this list and ahead of Henrik Lundqvist, so trust
Stop
me.
Stop with your hate.
Yeah. Joe lives in Jersey.
Mark Gastineau, second round pick, 1979, near miss. Bernie Williams. I'm just kidding. Buck Williams. Bernie Williams was good. Buck Williams, third overall, 1991. Pat LaFontaine, who's actually a Hall of Famer, but I'm guessing LaFontaine, remember, he was drafted in 83. He wasn't a part of the dynasty and was a Buffalo Sabre to a lot of people.
Didn't have to change his license plate over three teams.
Yeah.
And finally, and this one may be the nearest miss of them all.
You're leaving one out that's going to annoy me, but keep going.
I left somebody out?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't leave anybody out. This is the committee.
Whoever did left someone out is going to annoy me.
Go ahead.
I'm going to wait for you to finish.
Okay, the last one, which this is a tricky one. This guy is a Hall of Famer, was drafted by one of the local teams, but became a bigger star with the other local team, and that's Bernard King. Seventh overall pick in 1977, drafted by my New Jersey Nets.
How many years
played for the New York
Nets? How many years did he put in with each?
With the Nets, he was only there for 2 years, I think. And then with the Knicks, I mean, what was it, like 5 years or something like that? Oh, I'm looking it up right now. He was with the Nets for two. I was right about that. And he was with the Knicks for 4 years. So maybe it just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
All right. Who's the near miss the committee left out?
Amani Toomer. Second round.
That would be it.
I was going to say Chris Snee, but I guess he's one of the top four.
Listen, I know you guys love the Giants and all, but come on now.
Amani Toomer is an all-time leading receiver in Giants history.
To me, probably ends up a Hall of Famer one.
Blobby, come on.
Toomer?
A Hall of Famer?
I love Toomer. But in relation to his peers, yeah, I think Snee could end up better.
Oh, Snee is a Hall of Famer. Okay. Yeah,
if Klecko's a Hall of Famer, Snee's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, stop with that. Joe Klecko was a Pro Bowler at three different positions. And by the way, for those who missed it on Friday, Michael Strahan posted a thank you for being on this list, which was great. He was even annoyed that Klecko was ahead of him. I couldn't believe that. If you missed it, it's on our YouTube channel. Michael Strahan was like, this is screwed up. I should have been ahead of Joe Klecko. So those are some of the near misses in the top 20 draft picks over the last 50 years. Anybody else missing? Are we all good?
Snee did have four Pro Bowls and an All-Pro.
No, I'm telling
you. Two Super Bowls.
But honestly, T, we don't know the top four. He's probably in that.
You think he's in the top four?
Well, I mean, if he's not a near miss, then he's not why he's got to be in the top four.
I don't know how the committee decides these things, but apparently.
There's no offensive lineman.
That's
true. Tells you how bad the Giants and Jets have been drafting offensive
linemen.
Well,
what about DeBrick? DeBrick could have been on this list. Oh. Nick Mangold should have been on this list.
Mangold, yeah.
You know what?
He'll be a Hall of Famer.
Right. You got me annoyed. They weren't even mentioned in the near misses.
Disrespect to the offensive linemen. But again, we don't know the top four.
That's true. It could be Nick Mangold, DeBrick, Deshaun Ferguson.
There are not three offensive linemen in the top. In the top four, I promise that.
Either way, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we will find out once and for all who's in the top four on the eve of the NFL draft. And obviously, the draft is Thursday night as we creep closer and closer. We'll get to Joel Embiid's brave comments he made after the game in just a couple of minutes. But let's go to Roland in Clifton, New Jersey. What's up, Roland?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good, man.
Good. What's up?
Love you guys. Evan, Tiki, Sean, Tommy. Did you guys even discuss the fact that with all this excitement during the game that there was a possibility that Embiid could have made that shot?
I mean, I'm glad you brought that up because the Knicks gave him a wide-open look from three.
Yep.
And it almost went down. And you're right, that would have changed everything we were talking about today. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I'm like a true degenerate. I think it was Lugie who I spoke to. I had money.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Not only the Knicks, but I had a little small parlay against your beloved Islanders. My condolences, by the way.
Oh, my God.
And it was 3-1 in the third. I go, the Knicks aren't winning this, and neither, you know, neither are the Canes. But all of a sudden, divine intervention, the ball, that three-pointer that bounced in. I mean, you can't make this stuff
wait,
up.
Wait, so hold on. Oh, I want to get this straight. When you parlayed.
Your parlay was anti-Islanders and pro-Knicks?
Correct.
So what odds did you get when you made that parlay, just out of curiosity?
Well, I mean, it was the parlay was before the game.
Oh, like okay. Person. All right. That's a little bit different because when the game was going on, but and I kept my eye on the Knick game closely, like in the last minute of the game, I got in at plus 650. And I think, didn't you bet Carolina when it was... No, you know what Sean did? Sean bet, will there be overtime? Which he actually lost because there was no overtime.
I celebrated immediately on that tying goal that I was about to hit the overtime
and then
bet.
9 seconds later.
That was fun. That was a fun thrill.
Yeah. Oh, so when did you bet the game will be overtime? Before the game even started or when it was 3-0?
As soon as I walked out these doors.
Oh, really? You know what? Because Sean did tell me
his
prediction yesterday was Islanders in overtime. So he did say that.
So, but the Islanders were, they were big dogs, right?
Yes.
Big-ish.
Big-ish.
No, the Islanders were big underdogs. No, that's a fact, yeah. So what's your point, though? Like, that's why doing it before the game doesn't win you as much.
Yeah, exactly.
What he did before the game was he bet two favorites. The Knicks were favorites and Carolina was favorites. When the Islanders are up 3-0 in the second period, if you were able to get that bet in with the Isles up 3, and depending on when you bet the Knicks game, because the game was back and forth between the Knicks and Sixers. Like,
yeah,
even when Philly
got to 10 in the second quarter.
I know, but I mean, the Knicks took the lead and they were up by 7
right
when Bogdanovich hit the back-to-back three. So it's really dependent on when you got in on the game. But the Knicks were never like huge underdogs until the final minute of the game when Maxey hit the logo three and Lowry's going to the foul line. So it depends when you get in. But yes, that could have been a very productive night for you. Certainly on the table. Let's go to Pete in Deer Park. What's up, Pete?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Love your show. I got to tell you, though, last night I was watching the game with my son, and I'm, you know, he's like a basketball, you know, guru. He knows everything about the NBA.
Right.
And I'm like, listen, I've been a Knicks fan since 1969, and then I started boring him because I was like, listen, I did the transformation. I did all the ceilings in the garden when they were doing the transformation.
Right.
He didn't want to hear it. And Lowry was missing the free shot, and I'm like looking at it. I'm going, holy moly! And we're like, we're sitting there, and we both stand up. We wake up the whole house, and we're screaming, oh, no, oh, no! And I'm like, I said, the Reggie Miller curse is gone. Will they win this series? No more Reggie Miller curse. This happened to another team, and it didn't happen to us. It happened to another team, not to us.
You know why?
So I think.
You know why, Pete? I'm going to tell you why. And I said this a few months ago, and I think it's very apropos today on Tuesday, April 3rd. I said this about the Lions after the NFC Championship game. No offense to them. Losers lose. There are certain franchises. There are certain cities. There are certain sports fans. They're just losers. And they will find a way to lose. And while Knicks fans have felt they've been the losers for a long time, let us not forget that in the post-process era, that's what they call it down in Philadelphia, there have been no bigger losers than Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. Whether it's blowing a lead against Atlanta, whether it's Joel Embiid missing big free throws or Ben Simmons being afraid to shoot, whether it's James Harden collapsing, like take your moment, take your pick. The Sixers are losers. And luckily for you, you got to take advantage of it and be winners. And that's why what you saw last night at Madison Square Garden makes complete sense.
And sometimes when two losers face each other, well, all the time, somebody's got to not be a loser.
You know what, though? But even though the Knicks have been losers, this current Knick team?
This crop is not losers.
They don't feel like losers.
No, this team, this current Knick iteration is not loserish. It doesn't feel like it's, oh, we got this random dude that's got to play important minutes and he's going to be a hero at some point, but then he'd let you down.
Right.
Right. That doesn't feel like this Knicks team.
No.
This Knicks team feels good and sustainable.
There's a difference between franchises that are losers and players who are losers. Now,
good
you
point.
Are right. The New York Knicks have a history of being losers, just like the Detroit Lions have a history of being losers.
The Sixers specifically, it's players that are losers, like Tobias Harris. And I understand he's a Long Island guy. Mm-hmm. We all like Tobias. I think he interned here or something like that.
No, he just was a caller.
Oh, he was a caller.
Intern.
Whatever it was. And just a very uncomfortable conversation to have about a guy we like so much. He's kind of a loser.
Why is he a loser?
Oh, my God. He's a losing player.
Because he's out the door already?
He's a losing basketball player.
He's ready
player.
To go to Detroit and just hang out and
it's not even about that.
The next 4 or 5 years
of
his career?
No, it's watch him on the floor. He's a losing player.
He's uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
He's a losing player.
He should be a spot-up shooter at this point. I suppose he's playing real minutes.
Joel Embiid, a great, great player who can never get to that next level. You want to know why? Because he's a loser. Now, I do want to give Joel credit. Because there have been guys throughout history, Tiki, who were losers and then changed the narrative. And somehow flipped from being a loser to being the ultimate winner. I'll give you a recent example. It's a
Evan
coach.
Roberts.
When have I won?
Bye, lead dog in afternoon drive.
That's not what I'm talking about. So as a sports fan, screw the professional stuff. As a fan, I'm a definition of a loser. Nothing has changed. Andy Reid changed his reputation as a loser to now a winner.
Yeah, but that, I mean...
Don't caveat it. The point is he went from a loser
I know,
to a winner.
He's complicated because he was always in the championship game.
I know, but he was always losing.
But he was the championship loser. Okay. He could never get to the final. I know what
Fair
you mean.
Fair enough.
It's not like he fell short in the wild card round multiple times.
Look, and in Joel Embiid's case.
He's been to how many championship games? I mean,
not all losers are created equal.
Right. He's been to like 9 championship games. I know he's not Bill Belichick, but still.
Do you want to come up, Sean, with another loser that turned into a winner to make Tiki happy before I tell you what Joel Embiid did? Go ahead. You can't go up with anybody?
I root for a lot of winners, dude.
The losers you just don't remember.
It's true. Now you remember.
No, losers that became winners. Like, you could say LeBron was a loser who became a winner.
I mean,
he had to go to Miami to do it. But
how old was he? He was 23 years old.
All right.
24 years old.
So there's no one else that you can come up with who was a loser before it and then became a winner?
I mean, LeBron.
Peyton Manning was a loser for a while.
Turn your head.
Who? Oh, A-Rod. Yeah, that's a good one. Big-time loser, big-time winner.
Always choked and came through and was a hero.
I think that's a great example.
That's a good one.
That's a very good example.
That's a good one.
Now, the way to change
things... Which is why his number is hanging from the rafters.
It's really only hanging from the rafters because Sean won a pickleball game from me, and this is what he decided to do.
But I'm scared to wear my Alexei Lafreniere jersey because it's 13.
That's true. You can't. You can't. Now, here's what Joel Embiid did that I actually admire. He put his ass in the jackpot.
Mm-hmm.
After the game, and we have two clips of Joel Embiid putting his ass in the jackpot. Number one, hey, Joel, guys are down 0-2. Kind of frustrated. What's going on, Joel?
We should be 2-0, so, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
Now, think about what Joel did right there. Twice he said we're going to win this series, so it was not a mistake.
We're the better team.
And then he whipped out the we're the better team.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue.
I mean, you've lost 2 games. You're not the better team.
Well,
because the better team. Look, you are what your record says you are. You can be the better team on paper any day of the week. But ultimately, it comes down to executing. If your guys aren't executing and everybody else is shooting, 6 for 20, 30, whatever the hell they shot, then you're not the better team. You might be the better player along with Tyrese Maxey, but you're not the better team. The Knicks are the better team because their role players actually pick up their fallen star.
You may be right about that, but he still said it.
Oh.
He's wrong, though.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's wrong. The guy went out and put his ass in the jackpot by saying we should be up 2-0, which of course is stupid. You shouldn't. I mean, you could be up 2-0, but you're not. Like, should be, could be, would be, if my uncle had, or my aunt had. Well, you know the phrasing. It doesn't matter. The point is, you're down 0-2. It doesn't matter. But he went out there and said, we're going to beat them twice. We're the better team. Now, you can get caught up in, well, he's technically wrong about that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter to me. I thought Joel Embiid, and I do not like Joel Embiid. I do not like him. I think he's fugazi. I think he's fake tough. I think he can be kind of dirty. But I give him a lot of credit for saying that. What's your problem?
This is fake ass in a jackpot. We do this all the time, right? Whenever we read a quote, we say, I got to hear it in its context before I make full judgment, right?
Well, I just gave it to you in this context.
But no, you didn't.
Why's that?
because visually is the context here.
That's a good point.
This is not putting your ass in the jackpot. When you say something you believe,
good point.
You stick your head up,
hold your
head
high.
You look into the camera,
right,
you look into the microphones and say, we've been the better team, we're going to win this series. Instead, Joel Embiid sounds confident there, but if you actually watched it, it was head down, not looking at anybody, we're going to win.
Why does that matter, though?
Because there's no confidence.
Words are words.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Sometimes the words are lip service.
Exactly.
And so he's saying all the right things so that when it comes back, everybody will say, look, Joel Embiid believes. But when you're sitting there, I mean, he literally was like this with his head down. Yeah, we're the better team. We're going to win this series. We should be up 2-0. That's how he said the whole thing.
I agree, but I don't think it matters.
It does matter.
Yes, it does.
Because if they don't come back, nobody's ever going to look back at Embiid's guarantee.
Maybe some
people outside the garden running around after a game 2 win will.
I disagree with you.
America will not look at that as a true guarantee.
Well, first of all, I don't know what America's going to think, but I know what New York and Philadelphia is going to think. And I know what Philly's going to think. Philadelphia just had one of their top athletes guarantee a series win, and he did it down 0-2. He better back it up, because here's the thing about guarantees. For every Joe Namath and for every Mark Messier, there's Patrick Ewing. There's the guarantees that don't work. And you guys can make a big deal. He didn't guarantee it. He just predicted they'd win in 5, which was stupid. You can make a big deal of who he was looking at.
Isn't that a guarantee?
We're
going to win in 5?
Evan moves the goalpost for
That is a serious moving of the goalpost.
I think it's a little bit different, but whatever.
No, it's not.
We'll debate that.
Okay, Joel had said we're going to win in 6?
Like, no, he said we're going to win the series.
I know.
There was no bones about it.
If he had said in 6, would he now have been like hedging?
Nah, I think that Benny was just making a prediction because he was awkwardly on the Howard Stern show. Context matters. I think it's different. He shouldn't have done it, but I think it's very, very different. Joel Embiid put his ass on the line. And if the Sixers don't come back and win this series, we will taunt him as New Yorkers. And I'm sure Philadelphia fans won't forget that Joel couldn't back up his point. But here's what got better. He did it again. He was asked later on in the same interview about the officiating. And listen to what Joel said.
I'm not frustrated. I'm actually good. We're going to win this.
We're going to win. He said it a third time. So this is not...
Yeah, it sounds like he's trying to convince himself. It just sounds like he's trying to convince himself.
But he's still doing it, and if he doesn't accomplish it, to us as New Yorkers, and certainly to those in Philadelphia, he's going to have to live with that hanging over his career. The idea that this is going to slip away into history, I completely disagree with. He's putting himself out there by saying, we're going to win this series. Do I think he's going to? At this point, I don't. But that's me. I'm talking about what he just did.
Yeah.
And I actually give him some credit for that.
But there are some times as an athlete where you know that you're better. At least in your mind, you think that you're better than the team you're playing. And you go in, for us, it would, because we didn't have series like this, you'd go in at halftime and be like, guys, we're better than this.
Yeah.
Right? But they just keep getting in your ass, right? They just keep destroying you. And there's nothing you can do about it, even though you know that it should be the other way around. And so this is that Knicks team. Right, Joel may believe that they're better than the Knicks, but the Knicks don't believe that. They don't think that.
I never said the Knicks think that.
But the Knicks aren't like. What is that saying? Joel is saying that do nothing.
Oh no. What does it do? It puts more pressure on you to win the series because if you don't, that's a part of your legacy now. Being the guy who guaranteed something, it didn't work.
Honestly, I think it goes away.
Especially
if the Knicks sweep them.
You think guarantee?
Right, or legitimately sweep them, which is what I predict.
I think it makes it worse.
You think guarantees
only stick when they work?
No, I think they go away. You just forget them.
Oh, no, you don't forget this.
This wasn't like, but Sean,
you do not forget
Sean's
this.
Point is so correct.
What?
Joel Embiid was not sitting there like, we are winning this series.
It doesn't matter.
I promise you, we're better than them.
He said it three times.
It's lip service, though. He's just saying it because he can't think of anything else to say.
Well, he could have said a million different things besides guaranteeing a series victory, which doesn't happen that often.
Not after he got shell-shocked by Dante DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson bouncing in a three-pointer.
Yeah, but all you're doing by saying that is adding more to the fact that he actually showed balls by saying
He could have simply said, you know, we're going to fight.
We're not going to give
Evan,
up. He could have cliched it.
I think he is shell-shocked. He didn't know what to say in the heat and the aftermath of the heat of that moment, and he just said, we're better than them. We're going to win.
We're going to win three times.
He said it three times.
Three times we're going
to
beat them.
He can't think of anything else to say.
Yeah, but that is a big deal to say. Like, athletes don't do that. Did you ever say that about an opponent? We're going to win this game?
No, you don't do that in sports.
Exactly!
But he's trying to be a leader. Evan,
you don't do it in sports. You want to know why? Because if you don't back it up, it lives on your forehead forever.
No, it doesn't. Not forever. It'll live in the next three games or two games or however many it takes for this thing to be over. That's where it lives, and then it's gone. Philly fans aren't going to say Joel Embiid let us down. No, they're not.
Dude, first of all, in Philadelphia, Joel Embiid is already gaining that reputation as a great player who cannot win the big one. That is a reputation that is building.
Why are they now going to listen to him?
Three years ago,
when they had Boston, who had a bunch of babies on Boston. I don't mean that meaning they were crybabies, but they were young. They were 20 years old, 21 years old. They couldn't beat them then.
Right.
I went to one of those games. They were so disappointing.
Yes.
So now, just because Joel Embiid says it tepidly,
that was not tepid.
There was no confidence. Dude, when Messier made the guarantee, on the front page of the paper. That's not happening on the Philly Inquirer today.
Well, first of all, what they decide to do editorially, that's up to them.
Because it speaks to whether you trust it or not.
First of all, you guys are missing the point. Do I think the Sixers are coming back and winning this series? I do not.
I don't think Joel Embiid believes they're coming back to winning the series.
Well, why'd he say it then?
Because he can't think of anything else to say.
How often does an athlete guarantee a series victory? Like, this is not a common occurrence. Mm. He put his ass in the jackpot. If they don't come back, part of his legacy, not his whole legacy, but a part of his loser legacy is going to be he stood there or sat there in front of a microphone.
With his head down.
Guaranteed a victory three freaking times, and he came up small.
In the first round against a team that he thinks is worse than them.
Okay.
But he's compromised physically, and they have no other role players other than him and Tyrese Maxey.
Not the point.
It is the point.
No, it's not.
Because what he's saying is wrong. His team.
That's how what we think is wrong. He's still guaranteeing the victory.
No, the Knicks are proving it on the court. They're proving it on the court.
What, they're the better team?
Yes.
That's not the point. He's the one saying it.
That's not going to be part of his legacy. His legacy the series is going to be remember that series versus the Knicks where Embiid was playing on one leg. It's not going to be remember he guaranteed the win.
Nobody's
going to remember this.
You think Philly is that soft where they're not going to remember losing in the first round of the New York Knicks?
They now cheer players that are struggling. Philly has gone completely soft.
He can't even put weight on his leg. Offensively, he doesn't go below the three-point line.
He scored 30 in yesterday's game.
I know. He took.
Stop making excuses for him.
He took 9 three-pointers.
I understand he's playing more on the perimeter. And Joel even said in that same news conference, no excuses. I'm out there. So I'm not making excuses for him. Nobody in Philly should make excuses for him. No Knicks fan should make excuses for him. But what he just did is he showed a little bit of guts. And now what the Knicks have to do is shut his ass up. And by the way, I know his kryptonite.
What's that?
I know Joel Embiid's kryptonite.
Which is?
He revealed it during the press conference.
Which is?
Are you ready for this?
Tell me.
Now, Knicks fans, you may have to do some work, but Joel Embiid was asked a question. He did not like the question. Listen to his response.
I'm not talking in French.
He does not want to talk in French. So what you got to do now at Madison Square Garden is chant in French to him.
What?
He does not like talking in French. He just said it.
Was that question in French?
That's right.
I'm not talking in French.
He's not talking in French.
Wow.
That bothers him.
We know the chant now.
What is it?
Wee, wee.
Those are the only two words.
Wee, wee.
Are those the only two words in French you know?
That and French fry and French toast.
Yes, yes.
Here's Knicks in five in French.
Knicks en cinq.
What was that one more time?
Knicks en cinq.
Can we make that a chant? Knicks en such. Knicks en such. Knicks en such. That's the chant if the Knicks are back up 3-1. It's going to piss him off. He don't want to speak French. You hear that? Hear the anger in his voice?
That's actually smart.
Yeah. By the way, that doesn't mean Knicks in five. It means shave my balls.
Is that true? He's right.
You just got me the chin.
No, it doesn't mean that. Knicks en cinq is Knicks in five.
Let's go to Anthony in Milford. What's up, Anthony?
How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
So, the big thing that I think is happening is our bench is just better.
Oh, yeah.
They had one other player in double digits last night, Tobias Harris, and he didn't even play good.
Yep,
so, three players scored 81 points out of the 94 that they scored, and you have Embiid saying that they're the better team, when even in game one, our bench produced over 40 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because right now, the only guys you can trust on the Philadelphia 76ers is Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, and maybe Kyle Lowry in moments. But Kelly Oubre, while defensively he's played well, has not scored. Yes. Nicholas Batum has not been the same guy as he was in the play-in game. Buddy Hield doesn't know how to play basketball. And Paul Reed is just your, you know, typical backup big. So you're right. That's one of the big differences we're seeing in this series. The Knicks are a deeper team than the 76ers.
And I honestly, cold-heartedly think that our Isaiah Hartenstein has Joel's number. I mean, he just outplayed him yesterday, even though the outside shot was there for Embiid. But down low, he can't get anything going with him down there.
You know what's funny? And I think Mitch is better defensively against Joel Embiid. I think we've seen that in the series. Although when Tom Thibodeau decided yesterday in the fourth quarter, it turned out to be the right decision, was I'm going to rely more on the offense I get out of Ihart because Mitch doesn't give me that. And then subsequently, Ihart made the play of the game defensively when he blocked Tyrese Maxey.
Right.
But he's out there, and I think he was out there in the fourth quarter because Tom Thibodeau knew I'm getting another offensive weapon, especially with that Ihart floater, which he barely missed on. I think he was 7-for-7 in the second half of this game. But that's one of the big differences. Right now, if you want to parse Joel Embiid's words of we're the better team, the Knicks are the better team. The Sixers have the better stars. And usually in the NBA, if you've got the better stars, you'll find a way. That has not been the case in the first two games of this series.
No, you're right. Same thing out in L.A. Or not L.A., Denver. Same thing.
Now, the biggest stars, Nikola. And Jamal's up there, too.
Yeah, by 20, man. Yeah.
I understand. We'll get back to your calls in a second. 877-337-6666. Plus, the 76ers announcers are a part of why the Knicks won yesterday, too. It's true. We'll let you take a listen to that coming up. Evan and Tiki right here on The Fan. Well, we get a nice break from hoops tonight, local hoops. But we do have a big hockey game tonight. The Rangers are going to look to go up 2-0 on the Washington Capitals at Madison Square Garden. 7 o'clock faceoff, so a little bit earlier tonight.
Yeah.
You don't like that, Sean?
Personally, for somebody who's not going to be on a train till 7 o'clock, no. I would prefer 7:38.
Nah, it's tough these last two nights because of Passover. If you are celebrating and you had a Knick game last night, you got a Ranger game tonight, you also have a Yankee game tonight. The Yankees are back in action against Oakland after losing yesterday afternoon and the infamous Aaron Boone ejection, in which it looked as if he was ejected over what a fan said, even though home plate umpire Hunter Wendelstedt said, no, that's not what happened. I heard someone else in the dugout, and I decided to let Aaron Boone be punished for that. Aaron met the media in the last 15 minutes, and there's something revealing that he said, which I think shows you how Major League Baseball feels about this situation. According to Aaron Boone, he said he will not be fined by Major League Baseball for yesterday's ejection. And I think it's my understanding, Tiki, that most of the time when you're ejected, you get fined.
Right, which tells you that my interpretation of Hunter Wendelstedt's interpretation of the ejection was erroneous and wrong, and that Aaron Boone was falsely ejected.
Well, I think it means that Major League Baseball doesn't agree with Hunter Wendelstedt.
Right, exactly.
They agree with you.
Right. They agree with me. Hunter's lying.
Now,
he's
what
making
they
it up to protect his own rear.
So what do they do to Hunter Wendelstedt?
Nothing.
Nothing?
There's nothing you can do about it.
Of course there is. You can't suspend him?
Well, I'm sure you can.
You can't fine him?
No, you're not going to suspend him.
Why?
Because he'll just lose a grade, and you know, he won't ump some important postseason game or something like that.
Well, but that isn't that basically kind of suspending somebody?
Yeah,
if you're going to lose a postseason game?
You take away something you weren't guaranteed to do anyways? Is that?
Nah, you're right. So I think you got to suspend him.
Right.
And the reason I say that, and I'm sure you'd agree with this, is that if an official does something wrong, and I'm not saying wrong in terms of just making a mistake,
yeah,
because mistakes happen,
of course,
but you do something like that, which is you lie,
right? And
if you believe he lied,
well, because what he did affected a game, whether or not Aaron Boone affected them not being able to hit at all yesterday.
Well, you know,
right, but still, look, but think about it, the decision, even though it sounded like Aaron Boone was still making the decisions, we talked about this yesterday, but with the Clay Holmes managing of the bullpens, you throw in Gonzalez instead of Holmes and gives up a home run, and like, who knows? Right? You just never know.
No, I know. And you know why I know? Because, and you just touched on it, yesterday was something unique. And maybe I haven't played close enough attention to this in the past, but Aaron Boone's been ejected 35 times. Mm-hmm. And when he gets ejected, usually whoever's filling in for him manages. That's how Carlos Mendoza actually got managerial experience before he ever managed the Mets. Because Aaron Boone would get ejected every other week, and Mendoza would be out there. In fact, Mendoza would answer the questions from the media sometimes. Yesterday, Aaron Boone not only answered questions from the media concerning his ejection, He was asked questions about the game as if he made the decision, yeah. even though he was supposedly not making the decision because he was ejected. Like, there was no game yesterday.
But it was also... It was also the reporters asking him like he was the
That's
manager.
What I'm saying. Like, the reporters didn't even hide around it. They were like, why didn't you think of bunting with Jose Trevino? And my first thought was, why are you asking him? Shouldn't you be asking Brad Ausmus? Well,
hold on. Do you think he was managing from inside the dugout, just hidden?
No, I think he was.
I'm asking because.
How was he getting the info to Brad?
No, but the media kind of gave it away that he was actually still managing the game.
I think that they know in 2024, especially with Boone, who gets ejected a lot, they know that the jig is up. Like, he's clearly telling Brad Ausmus what to do. He's the one making the decision to take Carlos Rodon out after seven innings. He's the one deciding, hey, I'm not going to go to Clay in a tie game. I'll only go to him with a lead. Hey, I'm the one deciding I don't want to bunt with Trevino. Like, he was point blank asked, did you think about bunting with Trevino? And my thought is, I thought he's not supposed to be a part of this.
Right. No, but they all have the iPads watching videos, so they're doing the text. I think he's texting from the clubhouse. This is what we're going to do.
You think he's just texting it?
Yeah. Hey, let's do this.
Isn't that not allowed anymore because of the cheating thing?
Well, maybe it's allowed in a circumstance like this.
You know what also is not allowed?
What's that?
To manage a game when you've been ejected. That's not allowed either.
I understand that, but...
They're not even fawning for that. By the way, I think I came up with the perfect way Rob Manfred can win back baseball fans.
How's that?
He shows up at the next Hunter Wendelstedt umpired Yankee game. And about two pitches in, walks out two behind home plate with Aaron Boone, and they simultaneously eject Hunter Wendelstedt from the game. That's how you punish him. Embarrass him in front of everybody. And when Hunter Wendelstedt says, what am I getting ejected for? You repeat, if you're Rob Manfred, I don't care who said it. Then he's out of the game, and he's publicly embarrassed. And then fans go, look.
Did
Manfred,
you think about that all by yourself?
I did. Is it lame?
No. I mean, did someone tweet that at you?
No. I was pondering it yesterday.
Was it one of your daughter's ideas, or was it your idea?
I'm not gonna throw them under the bus.
He's saying it's a childish idea.
No, I'm not. Before we get back to your calls, last night at the end of the Sixers-Knicks game, the Philadelphia 76ers TV announcers jinxed them. Now, tell me if this qualifies as a complete jinx. Are you ready?
Yes.
So it's while Kyle Lowry is at the free throw line. So they're up four. He makes the first free throw. They're up five. There's still, 35, 40 seconds to go in the game. More than that, actually. There's still plenty of time to go in the game. And listen to what the Sixer announcers are saying.
We'd love to, but the goal is not having home court advantage to getting home court advantage by winning one of the two games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Lowry splits them. Stay tuned. Post-game live is going to be fun.
Job done. Post-game live is going to be fun. This reminds me. You know what this reminds me of? I'm holding up my George W. Bush statue. This reminds me of Mission Accomplished.
Wow, they should.
And for those that remember that, you know what I mean.
They should be crushing those two on IP. Absolutely crushing
them. Because they jinxed them, right?
100%.
That's a full jinx.
That is a full. They're talking about the post game.
Yeah. Well, the first guy, the guy was like, mission accomplished.
Yes.
He mission accomplished it.
I know.
And there was no mission accomplished. And then she, I don't know either of their names. I apologize. Actually, I don't really care. I don't really care to know his name or her name. But then she, and it's not her fault as much. It's his fault more. She joined in with the, it's going to be a fun post-game show. She was just joining in with the broadcaster who's like, mission accomplished. Can't be doing that. You imagine one of our announcers doing that?
No.
Oh, my God.
They'd get crucified.
Let me give some friendly advice to Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Bapari. Right. Don't do this on a Yankee game.
Oh, no.
Sean will call for your job the next day.
No, I won't, because I don't believe jinxes or mushes are real. I got to stand by that. That's a
good point. It's the guy with the broom on a table when it was 2-0. You think he cares?
That's a good point.
Yeah, he's the one that doesn't care. So that offended you, Tiki?
It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Like, the game's not over. Wait until it's... Like, mathematically over.
I agree.
This is not even mathematically over.
Do you
think 4 points with, what, less than a minute, 56 seconds to go?
I have to admit, I did something stupid last night. On the Evan and Tiki text chat we're in, we were texting a little bit about the game. Yeah, just a little bit, right? So I wrote, Knicks are better without Jalen Brunson. 877-337-6666, as if that would be just a dumb opinion to have. And then Sean joined in and said, Jalen Brunson and Aaron Judge are the same guy. I then wrote a tag, and this was when the Sixers were up five, when Lowry was at the line, and I wrote, are we worried about Jalen Brunson? And I admit, I sent that text thinking the game was over. Otherwise, I don't send it.
Right, but that doesn't matter. It's not
as bad as the announcers.
Right, you're not You're not in a winning position.
By the way, here's the rest of the chain. Sean Morash, what a lucky three. WTFFFFFF, what a moment. Loogie. Morash, Jalen Brunson's foot is on the line. His foot is on the line. Loogie, we took their soul. They're a gutless team.
By the way, go back and watch that replay. That's something that went undetected.
It was close.
It was close, but his foot was not on the line.
It was very close.
Oh, if he's wearing Durant sneakers, it's on the line.
Well, if his foot is, if he's a foot taller, yes.
That was closer than Breen or anybody acknowledged, put it that way.
Yeah, they never mentioned it on the broadcast, but I mean, it was close, but it was a three. It counts. Let's go to Ozzy and Woodridge. Hey, Ozzy.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Don't say that to Joel. He'll be very offended.
Yes, merci beaucoup for taking my call.
Parlez-vous français?
Oh, wait, that's Spanish. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, parlez-vous français? Oh, no, I see. That's so-so in Spanish. Come on, Ozzy. Get it right. Don't get confused.
I thought it was I see.
No, I'm very confused. I can barely speak English. Get me to speak like French and Spanish all together? Forget about it.
All right, what's up?
Yo, check it out. John Elway, big loser. Now he owns.
Oh, great one.
That's the best example, by the way. Thank you for that. John Elway was a loser his entire career until the final 2 years of his career.
About an hour ago, we were talking about a loser that turned it around. You can rewind on the Odyssey app if you missed it. But we couldn't come up with one. We tried to throw Andy Reid, but Andy Reid just wasn't, it didn't feel right because he got so many championship games. But John Elway is the perfect
one. John Elway is the best example. Good job by you. By the way, I figured out how to say Joel Embiid is overrated in French.
How?
Joel Embiid est surfait. Est surfait. No, that's French. That's not Spanish. Spanish would be Joel Embiid está sobra velarado. Velarado. Can't believe I'm like kind of Latino when I can't say this correctly.
Your wife is gordo. Disown you.
No, I'm not saying he's fat. I'm saying he's overrated. Ozzy said he's fat.
I didn't say anything.
All right, go ahead. What do you want?
He didn't mention fat, even though the old Sean used to like pancakes with his butter. I didn't mention any of that stuff. Not the new Sean. Recycle.
Yes.
I mean, this got unnoticed before I get to my buddy. Growl when you're constipated?
I do what when I'm constipated?
Growl. You said
DiVincenzo
growled like he was constipated.
Yes.
Little Ebsy Websy growls when he's constipated.
Yes, that is a true story. I don't want to get into any further details because this is a family program at 4:50 in the afternoon, but yes, that is correct. By the way, I now know how to say Joel Embiid doesn't like pancakes with syrup in French. Joel Embiid, name pas las crepas au sirop.
Wow.
Want to do that as a chant?
Oh, jeez.
All right. What else do you want, Ozzy? I'm sorry.
I only drink when I'm playing the double bang. But listen to me.
Yes.
My childhood friend from the town you guys were mentioning yesterday, I grew up in Weehawken, two blocks away from the Aaron Burr Jefferson building.
Yeah.
My buddy is a Sixer and an Islander fan.
Wow. Wow. How's he feeling right now?
So I'm sitting there like crying all my freaking Cheerios and milk about the Islanders, and then I said, oh my God, I wonder what Mario's going through right now. But it is what it is. I'm a Cowboy fan, been through the depths and back. But
yeah.
Didn't have a very good night last night.
No, and we spoke to a Nick Islander fan earlier. And that's obviously more common than the Islander Flyer fan. But the Nick Islander fan who called us up earlier said the reason why he was able to get over the Islander game and enjoy the Nick win more is expectations. And I have to admit, I don't apply to that. Like, once you're in the postseason, Tiki, my brain tells me everybody's got a shot. So while I know how
especially
good Carolina is.
Especially
in hockey. Like, even in the NBA, I've always had that thought, even as an 8 seed. Like, I look at a series, and I say, yeah, no one will believe in me. Yeah, we may not have the talent, but I believe we have a shot. And if you lose a game in a brutal way, it's still a brutal way, even if you didn't think the team was going to win the series. That's just the way I view these things. Obviously, everybody looks at it differently. But if you are a Nick Islander fan, last night was just such a mix of emotions. Extreme emotions. What else should we chant that Joel Embiid in French? Joel Embiid has no balls. Okay? Joel Embiid, na pas de culias. Want to go with that one? Can that work as a chant at Madison Square Garden?
There's no way Knicks fans are going to hear you and remember this stuff.
Na pas culias. Nas pas culias.
That's got to pull. How do you say in French, Ben Simmons wasn't the problem?
All right. Ben Simmons wasn't the problem. Ben Simmons natatit pas las probleme.
A little long for chant.
Yeah, it's too tight. You can't chant that.
Oh, wait, I got it in English.
Wasn't the problem.
I want to hear that in French
now.
French. Yeah, hold on. Let me see if this works.
Ben Simmons wasn't the problem.
Oh, that's just a French accent.
Ben Simmons wasn't the problem.
Oh, Ben Simmons was not the problem.
All that is just a French accent. That's weird.
I got to tell you, she's got a hot voice. I don't know who she is.
That's a man who stayed up till 1 a.m. watching baseball.
We'll come back. Sean's got a Cinco de Five-O list, plus more of your calls on the Knicks, and we'll get you set for a busy sports night. Rangers, Capitals, Yankees, Tampa Bay. The Mets are out in San Francisco. We'll get you all set up. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.